Well, it's always a blessing to hear your voices. And I said in my blog that I wrote yesterday that some of you I recognize, and I just so appreciate how you're just individuals in your own making up, and how precious that is to God. But together, we're all a unit. And today, I had that we only lacked. And if you're from one of these places, could you go on to billybrim.org and say, I was there. Delaware, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Mexico, Utah, Vermont, Rhode Island, and West Virginia. And, of course, I'm very, very thankful for our joiners and our body from Ontario and Mississauga and from Belgium. We love you all, and thank God that we make up a unit. So how many did I not get today? States 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So that means 43 states at least. That's a big majority. And my Internet's out here at home. We had a real lightning storm last night. So I don't know how the elections went, but we've all got to be sure to pray for those midterm elections in November. We must have those in office who are pro-Israel and who are pro the body of Christ. And we're very thankful for all of those who are, and I'm pro-Israel is on both sides, Democrats and Republicans. But make sure. Now we have things coming up, you know, and we need to pray about them. Redding, California, I heard you. And the fires that are going in California, I don't have a report on them this morning because my Internet's down and I can't find out about them. But let's just take a moment right now to lift up our brothers and sisters and all the people of the California areas, which I heard yesterday were the largest fires ever. So, Father, in the name above every name, we come to you. We come to you asking for miracles. We're asking for miracles, Father, in the name above all names, for individuals, for the savings of lives and the savings of goods, miraculously. But, oh, Father, in the name above all names, we're asking you for the miracle of stopping that fire, for the rains without lightning, for the winds to go in the right direction. I pray, Father, especially we pray for the firefighters. In the name above all names, we lift up this portion of our nation. You ask us to pray, first of all, for those who are in authority. We're praying right now, and I'm asking our prayer group to pray for those who are responsible to make decisions, for the firefighters, for the Rosen and Macanya, the government, the leaders, for the churches, the leaders, for the people that are helping. Help them make the right decisions, Father. In the name above all names, you are the God of restoration. We praise you and give you glory and honor and salutation, O Lord our God. As you know, it's been a real, ever since I went to Jerusalem and heard Bill Koenig give the big statistic of the number of the church. I've been emailing Bill, and of the church, I heard an 80% from him in Jerusalem. I didn't get an answer back on that, but I have heard a 70% now. 70% of the church, and he's counting Catholic and Protestants, do not believe. They do believe in replacement theology. Now, as we're coming here to the times when judgments come and when nations are going to be looked at to see, are they sheep nations, are they goat nations? And it's very, very important that people have, that the church has, because I told you that what happened in Europe when I was over there, what happened with the Holocaust, happened so much because the church, the people that call themselves Christians, were confused about Israel's place in the plan of God and even anti-Semitic. And it was because their denominations had adopted replacement theology. And so I'm going to read to you today from, I want to read to you from the Bible. I want to point out to you that there are, well, I'll start like this. In God's dealing with Israel, the Bible is a book about it, we have seven steps. And those seven steps are, if you have a pencil, you might want to write these down. Number one, the choosing. He chose Israel. Two, the blessing. He blessed them as a nation. Three, the bringing into their promised land. Four, the scattering out of that land and into the nations of the world. Number four, the scattering. Number five, the ingathering. Number six, the restoration. And number seven, the redemption. You can read particularly about how that whole nation recognizes their Messiah in Zechariah 12 and Zechariah 14. Right now we're on the step of the ingathering. That's been going on for a while now. And the restoration of Israel. We've seen them, 1948, become a nation. We've seen them get Jerusalem restored to them. And, of course, then their full redemption will come when their Messiah comes and puts his feet down on the Mount of Olives. And read this again, as I said, in Zechariah 12 and Zechariah 14. Now, I want to point out some things that will keep people from thinking that Israel, God's through with Israel, which is what replacement theology says. Replacement theology says that God's through with Israel and that the church has replaced them, and that every promise in the book that is made to Israel for the land, for anything, is now nullified, and all those promises go to the church, which is not so, and it is anti-Semitic and it is satanic. Now, in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, God has written what David Barron, and remember I quote David Barron a lot. He was born in 1855 in Russia, raised in the best rabbinical schools, later converted to Christianity, and he writes so many wonderful things, and I study his books in depth because he knows the Hebrew, he knows so much about that, and then he knows the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Deuteronomy 32, he calls it, the whole chapter, God's Manifesto in relation to the Jewish nation. It is condensed and comprehensive prophecy, setting forth the dealings of God with Israel, past, present, and future. Now, he put them in their wonderful place. Acts 17:26 tells us he chooses nations and gives their boundaries. But I'm going to start with Deuteronomy 32:8. When the Most High divided the nations to the nations, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Now this places Israel in a governmental position, which it will occupy of over the whole earth during the millennium, which is coming up soon. Now this is verse 9, just going right on from what I'm reading. For the Lord's portion, and that is L-O-R-D, capital, it's Jehovah's. For Jehovah's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. When God divided the nations and set the boundaries, he chose one of those nations to be his very own as a nation. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. When he's talking about the physical progeny of the Jews, he calls them Jacob. Not Abraham, not Isaac, but Jacob. Abraham had other sons. Isaac had another son. Jacob, all 12 sons, became the tribes of Israel. So the progeny of Israel, he chose them out. They are his portion as a nation. Verse 10, he found him, Jacob, in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. You also can see where God is called Israel that. So Israel as a nation is God's nation. Now, the church, the body of Christ, we are those who are out of every nation. God takes some out of every nation. That's what's happening in this dispensation of grace. He is gathering people out of every tongue, every tribe, every nation. But I want to go back to the blessings of all those nations are bound up with Israel and with Israel's God's plan working in them right down through the redemption. He calls them in Isaiah 51. He calls them, O my people, O my nation. I'm going to read you what Baron says. Here we are reminded of Israel's unique calling and relationship to God. They are the only people which, as a nation, God has chosen as his own peculiar possession out of all the nations of the earth. Hence, he speaks of them and of them. He speaks to them and of them as he does not speak of any other nation. Remember, you have to rightly divide the word, and you have to know who, when he's talking to the Jews, the nations, and the church. In Amos 3:2, he says, to Israel, to Jacob, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Or, as he said in Deuteronomy 4:33-34 through the mouth of Moses, quote, has God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and great terrors according to all that Jehovah your God did for you? Israel is God's nation as a nation. And the psalmist said of them in Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah, the people who he hath chosen for his own inheritance. They are the only nation that he took as a nation for his own inheritance. Another psalm says, he has not dealt so with any other nation. And Baron writes, nor is there any other people which corporately, as a people, stand in such a covenant relationship to God. Israel's covenant relationship has between them and God has not been broken. For in Romans 9:10-11, it is written, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, which means he doesn't change his mind. Baron goes on writing, the inclusion of Gentile believers within the bounds of promise and of covenant does not affect the purpose of God with the nation, his chosen nation, nor does the church displace Israel in the plan of God in relation to the other nations. The mission of the church is to evangelize the world with a view to the gathering in of individuals out of all nations into its fold. But it is reserved for restored and converted Israel as a nation to bring the nations to a knowledge of their glorious Messiah and King and bring universal blessing to the world. The world, the blessings of the world. Remember how it says in Genesis 12, in you shall all nations be blessed. It is Israel's job. It is their gift. It is their calling to bring the nations in, to bring to the nations the knowledge of God. And so in his dealings with Israel, God says, when you see this happening, it's a sign to the nations. When you see the ingathering, it is written in Isaiah, it's a sign to the nations that God is God. We do want the nations to see this sign. We want the United States of America to see this sign and to bless Israel. And thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. We've been doing this. We've missed it. Oh, how we did miss it in World War II by not taking in the refugees, by turning away the St. Louis, and so many of them perished on that boat as they were sent back, and our president, Roosevelt, wouldn't receive them. The State Department wouldn't receive them. But we've got those black marks against us, but thank God we've got some pluses. Thank God when Washington came, when George Washington, when this nation was established, he made the place for the sons of Abraham and recognized them and took them into the fold and said that each man would sit under his fig tree and his vine. And we have Harry Truman and his what he's done, and we have times when we've helped Israel. And we have moved, most recently in our knowledge, we've moved the embassy to Israel. Now, I don't want Jared Kushner and President Trump to make mistakes in trying in that some of our recent, so far we've stayed out of this mess, this embroiled mess of trying to establish peace where there will never be peace between until the Messiah comes. And so trying to establish so-called peace. And so we pray right now, Father, in the name above all names, we lift up our president. We lift up the team that I heard he was expanding. I do pray, Father, that in expanding these teams, that he's brought somebody into it that understands Israel's place in the plan of God and that the land belongs to them, period, and that we cannot be a part of any kind of a treaty, any kind of anything that says the land must be divided. Oh, God, deliver us from dividing the land. Deliver us, O Lord, from the thoughts going through any of the negotiators that the land or Jerusalem should be divided. We do thank you for how you've helped our president to do the right thing. And we do ask that your influence, that your, oh, the Spirit of the living God will think through their minds and show them, Father, from the word of the living God, that this is not to be done. In the name above all names, we pray. Oh, bracito lo do grande. And Father God, last night my phone came on. I'm saying now to you prayers and said that there was a false alarm. Went off, a siren went off in southern Israel. But things are going all around that try to keep them in a place of fear. We lift up Israel that there will not be fear there. Dear Father, in the name above all names, we know that you never slumber nor sleep. We know that you, it is written in Jeremiah, that you who gathered Israel, you will not, like a flock, you will watch over them like a shepherd does his flock, and you will keep them. How marvelous and wondrous that is to know. Dear Father, I've been thinking so much lately about the ages to come. Holy Father, help us be ready. We pray for the body of Christ, for those to come into the body of Christ that need to come into it. We pray for an awakening, Father, an awakening among the Israelis, an awakening among the Jewish people all over the earth to God, an awakening among the church to God and his purposes, an awakening in the world and the nations to God. Oh, Father, I do pray for a great, great awakening here in the United States of America. You've given them before, Father, and I know you will give them again. Oh, dearest Lord, we thank you for how we have seen awakening. We have seen stirrings, and we're seeing them right now. But, oh, Father, we need that poured out, that awakening that Spirit poured out that affects not only the church in revival, but affects the culture, affects the time, affects the whole of the nation. We lift up the United States of America for another great awakening, for the greatest awakening of all. And Father, Shonde, Shonde, oh, Shonde, 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 Franico, and Ber Franico is Shandorogo Bassi, Delegombra, Telegadashan, Delegovre Tato, Ibaladania, 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 Freno, Makaya, Freno, Makaya, Freno, Freno. Oh, dear Father, we worship you, praise you. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for a united prayer. Thank you for what you could get done, Lord, on this short phone call, but because we're in unity and because we pray. I want to ask your prayers for me. I'm going on Thursday, the 9th of August, out to the Jim Baker Studios, not far away from here. And he's asked me to be on his program. It will be aired the following Thursday, August 16, the Jim Baker program. And I'm going to talk about, first of all, and the Awakenings, my most recent book, my most recent larger size book. I've written Shalom, a small book, since then. And I need to know which parts to bring out. I don't know how long the program is, how much time, out of the program will be given to me. It might be short, might be long, I don't know. But I'm asking you that you'd pray for me and lift me up for utterance. Because this message that, first of all, we must pray for our leaders, and that we were born out of an awakening, and we must have another awakening, and we must pray for it. I'm asking you to pray that I'll have utterance to get that over. And I ask you to remember me when you step away from this phone, and as the Lord brings it up. And then, of course, we pray for the church. Holy Father, we lift up the body of Christ to see God's plan for Israel. We're starting some schools. Now, Migdal Arbel Prayer and Study Center, in the name above all names, the final building permit must be issued right away. And in the name of Jesus right now, I'm asking all of you right now with me. Heavenly Father, we ask favor. We ask that permit to go to the top of the list and it to be approved this very month. In the name above all names, we ask it and claim it. The building permit for Migdal Arbel Prayer and Study Center granted, okayed in the month of August. Thank you, Father. Now, we're going to also start a school called 3BI, Billy Brim Bible Institute. And that's going to be, we're going to have class. What we're going to do is, I don't know if any of you ever came to our eschatology schools we used to have, where maybe 100 students would come, and we'd have a week school. Well, we're going to do that again, but we're going to film them, and then we're going to offer them to churches maybe or online, or we haven't decided. We have got accreditation. We are getting accreditation. The accreditation people, association that accredited Life Christian University has said they would accept us. And so we're very thankful for that. So I need you to pray about it. I need you to pray. One of the main reasons we're having this now, other people are having schools that we could highly recommend. Of course, Brother Copeland's school. And others, many, many others, wonderful schools. But ours is going to be a bit different. It's going to be primarily prophetic, a school about Bible prophecy. The whole Bible is prophetic. Two-thirds of the Bible is prophetic, prophecy. So we're going to talk about those that have been fulfilled, those that have not been fulfilled. We're going to go into the prophets, and we're going to see, like Peter said, the light that the Old Testament prophets cast for us to see what's happening in this hour. And I know that education is a key. So I'm asking you to please pray. Please pray for us to know exactly what steps to take. And, of course, the McDollar Bell to come online quickly. And we will have another seminar tour in May. And I believe that on that May tour, you will be able to see things happening at McDollar Bell. And then I believe that the next year, the school itself will be a part of any tour that we have. So we're so very thankful for the opportunity. The Lord has made me to know when he talked to me about the schools. I'm looking at a prophecy that I got in prayer just the other day. And you're a pretty special group. And praise God. I'm thinking about whether or not to share it with you. Bless the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll read a little part of them. Both the schools, both here and in the Galilee, are of me. He showed me how to have the beginning sessions here at Upper Mountain. He told me to hire additional help needed. This has primarily to do with we need help in the video part. I will bring them to you and the funds to pay them. A laborer is worthy of his hire. Believe me for the extra, which is not extra in the true sense, but what is the required recompense. And bless the Lord. Some of it is so personal. You hear from God, you know, when you pray. Maybe you're praying in tongues, and then what you hear would be an interpretation of it. Or it might just come directly. And he showed me this part. He said, in my plans, you have a sanctified part with my body and with my portion, Israel. I'm getting kind of tickled at the next. Follow me, girl. You are in for a whirl of excitement, of pleasure, of unexpected treasure. Listen and hear. You are so near to the next stage. You can hear sounds from it. See it on every page. Go on with this study. I have much to show you on the ages to come. And as I told you, he's talking to me about the ages to come. And folks, the next age, the millennial age, so much has to do with people recognizing the place of Israel in this age. Thank you so much for loving him, loving the Master, loving to communicate with him, loving each other, loving to pray, and for loving Israel. You're a very special group. And thank you once again. I will be there for noon prayer today. If you can, I don't know about our internets out at, and all of our systems out at Prayer Mountain. I did hear a very close crack to me last night. And but I'm sure we'll be there from Prayer Mountain, Facebook or something. So noontime prayer. Thank you so much. Shalom, shalom.